For Sons of American Legion Radio, we are at the New York Athletic Club in New York City for a special event of the Navy League Council of New York and have a chance to talk with a special guest speaker today. That is Vice Admiral Andrew Woody Lewis, who is the commander of the Second Fleet, also the commander of Joint Forces Base Norfolk. Two huge responsibilities. Admiral, good to be with you today. What's it like to be in New York?
It's great. It's a really friendly city, and it's great to be back. It's been a little bit of time since I've been here.
That's good. Now, if you would tell us where you're from, and I know you went to the Naval Academy, and a little bit of the path of your career, if you could.
Yeah, I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, but I essentially grew up in California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, and wanting to go to school and interested in ships and working with the Coast Guard Auxiliary got me interested in going into the Naval Service at some point. So I ended up getting an appointment to both the Naval Academy and the Coast Guard Academy. And I went to the Naval Academy because I wanted to wrestle Division I in college. That was the main reason. But then made my way into Naval Aviation after graduation and got my wings in 1987. And has served in a number of squadrons and air wings and such, and commanded. I'm in my 6th and 7th command now. I commanded an F-18 squadron. I commanded the F-18 training squadron. I commanded an air wing. I also commanded the organization out in Fallon, Nevada, that where Top Gun is. And then I commanded a carrier strike group before coming to this command position. So a lot of opportunities to do a lot of neat things, see a lot of things, live overseas 3 times, 4 times really, and got to do a lot of fun stuff along the way and a lot of good operating. And it's been a real pleasure to serve in the military.
Well, you mentioned a transition from being an F-18 flyer and commander, commanding a squadron, to then commanding operational bases and a task force for the Navy. How is it for you to make that shift from being a flyer to being a commander of a base or a ship?
Well, yeah. So to be precise, I'm not a base commander at all. So my fleet command is, you know, a fleet operational command, a second fleet, a U.S. command, and then the NATO command is called the Joint Force Command Norfolk, which is one of 3 Joint Force Commands within the NATO command structure. So broadly with Naples, JFC Naples is to the south on the continent. JFC Brunson, which is in Belgium, is to the north. And then the Atlantic is captured with JFC Norfolk now, okay. Which is a new command, and which is... We're building out in like manner from behind the Second Fleet. So the Second Fleet's mature now and at full operational capability. The Joint Force Command Norfolk is not there yet, and that's kind of my task at hand for this year.
Sure. Now, tell us a little bit about the Second Fleet. It was deactivated around 10 years ago, 8-9 years ago, and then reactivated in 2018 as under your leadership. And certainly in World War II, fighting the submarines was a constant battle. But tell us a little bit about what's involved, what the mission is of the Second Fleet since it's been reactivated.
Okay. Yeah, so... To the two kind of dates in the Second Fleet's history that are important to understand is around 2004 or 5 time frame was a Supreme Allied Command Atlantic was disestablished, and Second Fleet was maintained, but its role changed significantly to more of a training type of organization that was part of a kind of a Cold War dividend at that point. And then in 2011. Second Fleet was disestablished altogether, and the Fleet Forces Command in Norfolk assumed all the responsibilities of those training and certifications. But what didn't get captured was the operations in the Atlantic. And so the reason that Admiral Richardson made the determination, a previous CNO, along with the previous Secretary of the Navy, to reestablish Second Fleet was to adapt to the security environment in which we're faced with these days, which is, you know, to use an overused term to some degree, is a great power competition with, you know, vis-a-vis with the Russia and China being primary competitors of the United States and the free world and the NATO alliance. So to be operating in the Atlantic, across the Atlantic, is really the rationale for the reestablishment of Second Fleet.
Well, I read one description that you cover from North Pole to the Caribbean, a big span, and the Arctic is becoming an increased area of interest for the Navy and the Coast Guard, trying to get icebreaker available and operations. What are some of the typical operations that the Second Fleet might undertake?
Well, in the Arctic, the Arctic, you know, is a region that we've operated very sparingly in the last 30 years or so. We're starting to get back there in very kind of basic steps, tactically and operationally. We've sent on a couple of occasions over the last year, we have sent destroyers a cruiser and a destroyer and a destroyer. Another destroyer up in the Arctic, and we've learned quite a bit about, you know, how to operate around ice flows and how to refuel ships where it's a very austere environment, particularly on the west side of Greenland and up the Canadian side of the Arctic. It's very austere, and the distances are significant. And so with a gas turbine ship, they need to be refueled more frequently than electric boat or a nuclear powered vessel.
And certainly in the Atlantic, the shipping lanes are very busy, especially going in and out of Norfolk. I was there last August, saw the container ships going in and out of the harbor. How do you coordinate the activities of the commercial shipping with those of the Navy? And also, I know you have emergency response responsibility as well.
Well, the flow of commercial shipping across the Atlantic, I mean, busy is a very, very much of an understatement, and it's not just the shipping, going with commercial goods from the United States to Europe, but it's also going from Europe to the United States, and those sea lanes are very, very crowded and busy. So it's a matter of deconfliction and maintaining those sea routes. I mean, that's the Navy, any Navy's job is to maintain the free access to sea lines of communication. But in addition to that, it's not just on the surface of the ocean. It's from seabed to space and assuring those strategic lines of communication. So as you are probably well aware, most people are, that the vast majority of internet traffic flows on fiber that is laid on the Atlantic,
sure,
in the bed of the Atlantic, and obviously in the Pacific going the other direction. But that's a significant amount of, we have to assure that and ensure that it maintained, it has its integrity, and that flow of information can go back and forth as well.
Always ask when I have the privilege to talk to senior leaders about the role of sailors in your case, and we've had a chance to visit with chief petty officers in the Navy and the young officers. We were down in Annapolis a couple of weeks ago, just tell us about what it's like for you to see the young people joining the Navy and taking on responsibilities and serving our country in different ways in the Navy.
Well, it's pretty inspiring to serve alongside young sailors, particularly young enlisted sailors that come in with not a great understanding of what they're supposed to be doing and what they need to be doing. But what it comes down to ultimately is about service, and service to the nation, service to the their communities, service to their families, and service to the Navy itself. And there's a huge, it's very motivating to be around these young kids. And one, you know, as I mentioned before, I spent a lot of time on aircraft carriers as an F-18 pilot and deployments. And one of my favorite things to do is take people out to the aircraft carrier and watch flight operations that have never experienced before, because it's a microcosm of what goes on anywhere in the military, in which you can watch it, you know, sitting up on the bridge or in the flag bridge, you can watch all these things going on where you have very young sailors who are have literally the lives of pilots and other people in their hands by the decisions they make and the work that they're doing. And it's a space in which the American dream is very much alive and well. In fact, I would say it's probably more alive and well in the military than it is anywhere else in our country.
Well, I've had the privilege to go out to a couple of the amphibious assault ships and watch flight operations, I think on the Iwo Jima a few years ago, and watched how they maneuver the planes and the helicopters, and they wear the different color shirts based on the role, and how intense that is, and how well trained and how disciplined they have to be to do that job safely.
Without a doubt. Yeah, they all have, as you found out, they all have a color coding. You know, they call the guys with purple shirts grapes, because they're the ones who do fueling, and red shirts has to do with ordnance and explosive disposal. White shirts are safety. Yellow shirts are the directors. You can't do anything on a flight deck, whether it be an amphibious ship or an aircraft carrier, without the express permission of a yellow shirt. And the yellow shirt's average age is probably 22 years old.
Sure.
And they're pretty, pretty amazing kids.
And Admiral, maybe just to wrap up, is there a particular time or role in the Navy that you have particularly enjoyed? I kind of think it must have something to do with flying. That's a special activity.
I've thoroughly enjoyed flying. I've thoroughly enjoyed, frankly, every job I've had in the Navy. My wife and I have been married for 34 years, and we made our move back to Norfolk. This most recent time was our 29th move as a family with four adult children. But and every job we've done and every place we've lived has been a tremendous learning experience. And I don't really equate necessarily to a certain job or flying necessarily. It's just the opportunities that I've been given that very few people have been given these opportunities. My current assignment, what amounts to standing up two, startup companies, one right after the other over the course of 18 months now, and I got another few months of doing this to get where we're more mature, and that's a tremendous opportunity that few people have the opportunity to do, and it's really fun to do. It's very challenging, but I have a lot of good people to work with, and the quality of our sailors and Marines and civilians and contractors that I'm allowed to serve alongside is pretty eye-watering, and it's kind of easy to do things with people that have a lot of that kind of motivation.
Well, Vice Admiral Andrew Woody Lewis, Commander, U.S. Second Fleet, Commander, Joint Forces at Norfolk, thank you for your service to our country from everybody at the American Legion, and thank you for the chance to talk with you today as you talk with the members of the Navy League here in New York City.
Thanks, sir.
Great to chat with you. Thank you again. This is Ken Kratzer for Sons of the American Legion Radio in New York City.